The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blevins. Blickery.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly. Connolly. Davison.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Filer.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Greer. Greer. Green.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Hutchings.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik. Kasparik. Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Lockhart. Lockhart. Laux.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nicholas. Nicholas. Northrup.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Petroff.
Here.
Pieperinen.
Here.
Reeder.
Here.
Simlick.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Stebson.
Here.
Teeters.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Wallace. Wallace excused. Walters.
Here.
Watt.
Here.
Wilson. Wilson. Winters.
Here.
Swanitzer Dan.
Here.
Swanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Nicholas. Nicholas. Wilson. Wilson. Nicholas excused. Wilson excused. 57 present, 3 excused.
The prayer of the day is offered by Pastor Ernest Fitzhugh, representing the Unity Missionary Baptist Church in Cheyenne.
Good morning. Shall we all bow our heads, please? Our gracious Heavenly Father, once again, we have assembled ourselves together to plan out the ways that we will run our communities, our state, our nation. We thank you for these men and these women. We ask, O God, that you will strengthen them, give them clarity of vision, give them a greater understanding, O God, what they must do. We thank you for this day, for this is the day that you've made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We ask, O God, that you would lead, guide, and direct them as they go about the business at hand. Pray for our nation that you would bless us and keep us strong and keep us to be the people that you have desired for us to be. Now you lead, you guide, and you direct, that your name may receive the glory and the honor. And it's in the precious and almighty name of Jesus I pray. Amen.
Amen. We're at that order of business of Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 1st, 2013 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representatives Winters and Filer.
Madam Minority Floor Leader, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today it is my pleasure and honor to introduce the page of the day, who is happy today because his team won the Super Bowl. You're lucky that they didn't lose, or he might not have been able to make it today. So please welcome my son, Patrick.
Patrick, welcome to the House. Representative Yagi, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Boy, I've been up here a couple times, my third time privilege of the floor, but I don't know if Senator Blake or Representative Blake was going to get the Mike Moniz guy. You going to do that? Are you doing that? Oh, okay. I'll let him do that. I'm here. Just wanted to mention our former legislator, but if he's going to be taken care of, that's fine. Glad to have you here. I have the FCCLA state officers here, and I have Family, Career, and Community Leaders of America. Their officers, Laura Ross from Southeast, Shaylee Hickson from Burlington, Ashley Housekeeper from Lyman, Sarah Mays, Tongue River, and Jody Jolovich from Tongue River, and their advisor, Patty Michaeli from the Valley, and some other advisors they have. But we're very glad to have you here, and they're getting to meet with our elected officials, so they're having a great time. Would you please welcome them to the...
Welcome to the House. Representative Blevins, privilege of the floor.
Good morning. I would like to have privilege of the floor. Thank you, Chair, Speaker. I would like to introduce a man who has held the reins at our community college in Powell, Wyoming during the last 30 years during our growth. Mark Kitchen is attending today, and he's in the north stands, if you will. And welcome, Mark.
Welcome to the House. Representative Blake, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A group of individuals came down from Natrona County today. It's number one on your license plate. And and number one in your heart, excuse me. I don't see all of them up there, but we have Dale Hicks, Jeff Muratori, Paul Thurkeld, and a former member of this body, Mr. Mike Gilmore.
Welcome to the House. Anybody else for privilege of the floor? Doctor of the day today is Dr. Aaron Wilson from Cheyenne. Welcome, Dr. Wilson. Brothers and sisters, welcome to the second half of the session. And today will be a sprint. It's the first half of the budget and the last day for Committee of the Whole for House bills. Any House bills that aren't heard by close of business today? We'll have to wait until another legislative session, so be prepared to sprint today. We're at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number three, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 68, Engrossed Sales Tax Zapping, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Eklund, Goggles, Kirkbride, Laux, Madden, Northrup, Petrick, and Semlick, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
I could hear me up here. We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 72.
House Bill 72 from Statewide Education Accountability Committee. That's an act relating to Teacher Accountability Act of 2011.
House Bill 72 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 126.
House Bill 126 is introduced by Representative Wallace, an act relating to agriculture.
There is an amendment, Representative Barlow.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I ask for your favorable consideration of second reading amendment to House Bill 126. Ladies and gentlemen, what happened in what I believe happened, and in speaking with the sponsor of the bill, in the standing committee amendment, there was a time frame, 48 hours, that was inadvertently omitted from the bill. And so if you would I would ask that you would actually put that back in that provides folks a time frame by which they should have to make their reporting if they have concerns about the humane treatment or cruelty to animals. So this puts a time frame on it. We want people to be cognizant and report cruelty, and this says you should do that within 48 hours. So I'd ask for your favorable consideration, and just so you do know, there will be probably a third reading amendment to tighten this up even a little more within the statute, within the bill itself. There's still some discussion about how that should be done properly, but I think this is the first good step. I'd ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barlow, you probably wanted to move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 126. Is that correct?
Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment first to House Bill 126 for your favorable consideration.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Question being called, we're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 126. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 126 has passed. House Bill 126 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 187.
House Bill 187 is introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to campaign finance reporting.
House Bill 187 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 206.
House Bill 206 is introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to public utilities.
House Bill 206 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 248.
House Bill 248. Introduced by Representative Nicholas, an act relating to the administration of government.
House Bill 248 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 249.
House Bill 249 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to administration of government.
There is an amendment. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number one, and just to remind you what this bill was doing the other day, this is the budget reduction implementation bill that the Appropriations Committee brought us, and it has different concepts in it. The first concept's dealing with attorneys and dealing with them. The second concept's dealing with a tax rebate program. Essentially what they were trying to get at is occasionally in the statutes, we've written our statutes sort of interestingly, where we say you shall appropriate these funds. And so we put a formula in the statute and we say you shall do something. Well, the problem is those are earmarks. And so then you get stuck with having to pay that because that's what the statute says you have to pay it. And so then our appropriation system doesn't work as efficiently as it should. The one I wanted to add in was one that on the Labor Committee kept coming up this summer when we were discussing it during the interim. Because of how we wrote the developmental preschool funding formula, we wrote in there in a context that a lot of shells, that they shall be funded this way. So all I wanted to add in was, notwithstanding this section and subsection D of this section, the actual payment shall be subject to legislative appropriation. I think we all understood that it was subject to legislative appropriation. But because some of the people on the that get this money, they were very adamant that if you don't give us the money, then that's a lawsuit. You know, you have to give us exactly what the statute says. I'm not sure that's what was actually intended. I think why we did the statute that way was so that we had a formula, and it's a good formula. But I think it needs to be understood that whenever we expend money, it's always subject to appropriation. So it's just sticking in that one sentence you'll see there in the amendment that just says the actual payment shall be subject to legislative appropriation.
Mr. Majority, floor leader. Mr. Majority Whip, sorry about that.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and only slightly against the proposed amendment. I think actually the solution proposed by the good chairman from Judiciary may be a fair one. The one concern and the reason we had sort of delayed this and not included it in the budget reduction bill at this time is this was a provision that was passed not too long ago, just a couple years ago, and it was in recognition that the developmental preschools are in direct competition with the public schools as far as their staffing for their teachers, their therapists, and those sorts of folks. And the whole reason this was put in initially was so that we didn't legislatively create a sort of unfair playing field by pumping a lot of money into the public schools and then ignoring the developmental preschools. And I think, you know, by putting this language in there, that issue still remains. It certainly doesn't mean we can't look at it some more, but I just have some concern that once we pass this amendment, those developmental preschools, their funding gets delinked from the public schools, and then we're back on the course that we were, that they're disadvantaged because of that. So I heard some caution, but this probably isn't the end of the world.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, folks, this is the special education part of before children go to school. And I'd like to tell you how they are qualified. It is a federal mandate, first of all, that if they qualify for the program, they will be served. So the question is, at what funding level do we want to serve them? The qualification is 1.5% deviation of norm in at least two areas out of five. So that means they're 1.5 times behind their age-appropriate peers in two areas of their life, two out of five. And so these are the kids that when they get to school, they cost us, the average special education cost is over $15,000. If you serve them before their fifth birthday, you have the opportunity to build their brain. That is an opportunity that only lasts for about 5 years. 90% of the neural paths that are developed in the brain happen in the first 5 years of life. Now, if you look at the dollar amount on the amendment, which is on line 19, we're proposing, and this is in statute today, about $8,500, which is about half of what we pay when they get to the school systems. So what we did in statute several years ago was we said that each child should be paid about what we pay for kids in special education. Then we went through some budget cuts, and that went down considerably. In fact, 10%. And so now we're asking them to do what the school does with very specialized therapies, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, social emotional therapy, and it just flies in the face of reason that we would take the kids that we have the ability to make a difference in that first 5 years developing neuropaths, and I could give you a history that'll go on for 15 years about how we have ask the Department of Education to assign some wiser numbers so that we could exactly track how much progress do they make. But I can tell you personal story after personal story that has come to my attention that when these kids go to the developmental preschools, a lot of times they never see special education. Sometimes by the time they're in third grade, they no longer need special education. They need a little extra time that first 1, 2, 3 years. But what we're saying is that while we are continuing to build education in normal school settings, in our K-12 school settings, that we are willing to say, but we're not going to pay for special education for children birth through 5, unless we have the money. So I would submit to you that we always have the money for education, that we'll find the money for education, that we do the money for education. This is special education. And I can promise you this. We can spend it on one end or we can spend it on the other end, and it's quite a bit more expensive in the public school setting. I would urge you to resist this amendment, continue to pay a per-child amount. Even though it is not sufficient, at least it's constant, and it allows people to hire. It allows people to develop contracts, and it allows people to serve the kids.
Chairman Archman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. Folks, this bill was carefully crafted to match budget cuts, so our budget language would jive with statutory language. And really, it's the county prosecuting attorneys and homeowner's tax relief. And so it was to cap those, and then we would look at that as a legislature. It was not our intention to roll this developmental preschool. So on and against. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To me, I totally agree with everything the Chairman of Labor just said about the importance of this funding formula. It's a very good funding formula. The question is, do you agree with earmarks or not? This is an earmark. This is written into statute. You shall fund them this way. There is no wiggle room. What the amendment's saying is, we're going to trust our Appropriations Committee to make some choices, and that sometimes they may not follow that formula if they so choose. And here's the problem I'm really having is that you'll see this later today, potentially in the budget bill. They presently have a footnote 16 in the budget bill that starts with notwithstanding 21.2706 B and D. What notwithstanding means, forget about the statutes. That's what gets extremely frustrating when you start seeing budget bill footnotes that say, forget about the statutes we've already written. We're going to rewrite the law within the budget bill. And so we're doing the same thing. This is exactly what Appropriations Committee is suggesting to do in the budget bill. I'd prefer to do it actually in statute rather than doing these end runs where we do footnotes that no one ever knows even exists. Should we be legislating by footnote? Or should we be legislating by statute? And should we have earmarks or should we not? Those are the simple questions that I'm asking. For me, I don't agree with having an earmark in here. I agree that the funding formula is a nice funding formula, but I think appropriation should have some more leeway. I also disagree with legislating out of footnotes in the budget bill. I'd urge you to vote aye.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 249. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 249 fails. House Bill 249, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 250.
House Bill 250 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to public employees.
There are 2 amendments on this one. First Amendment, Representative Escobar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 250. And, folks, we talked about this a little bit on Friday, so I put a handout in your desk so you could see exactly what I was referring to when we were talking about COLAs and legislative intents. And hopefully you still have the handout we handed out on Friday, too, from the appropriations handout 201. From Agency 72. And I'm just going to read a little bit from Roman 8:8. It is the intent of the legislature that the public employees' retirement plans be managed to maintain an actuarial funded ratio of not less than 100%. And then in Roman 8:9, it is the intent of the legislature that cost of living increases and changes to multipliers be allowed only in the event that the actual funded level of effective plans remain above 100%. So in handout 201, what this amendment does is remove Fire B from House Bill 250. When you look at current assumptions under funded ratios of the plan for 2012, that ratio is 109.4. The proposed assumptions aren't something we're really supposed to be taken into consideration when we're looking at increases to pensions. So I have a couple other problems with this. Actually, if you look through the bill, it says the employer will pay this share. Well, the problem in the bill that it's deleting there on page 6, 15-5420, it says each employer shall deduct monthly from the compensation of each member participating in this account. Well, in all these other plans, the state of Wyoming is pretty much the employer. In paid Fire B, the cities and counties are the employers. And in paid Fire B, they are under contracts. Those contracts may run out 2 years. So it's not the employer that's going to be paying this. It's going to be the employee that's paying this. And that's the problem I have with this. And I think based on what we put in legislative intent last year, what I showed you on that handout, we should probably be giving them a cost of living allocation, not making them take more money out of their own pockets to fund a retirement plan that's over 100%. And here's the other thing. This is like your kids. They come home with a 4.0. You tell them to do better. That's what this is. So I urge your favorable consideration on this amendment.
Chairman Archman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, and I appreciate my fellow member of House Appropriations bringing this amendment. It gives us a chance to talk about retirement, which is now under the purview of more of our legislative body as opposed to just the retirement board. But I would like to use a good representative here from the Capital Cities handout, and it's title number 201, the front page there, and I think it's I want to really show you really all these plans, and so it looks like this. It's got GRS in the top left-hand corner. GRS, and then to the right, and it has the good representative's House initials or it says House Bill 250 on it, I should say, and it says Joint Appropriations number 201. So there's a funded ratio by plan. So there's just a couple, there's three plans really that we're trying to take a look at as we move forward, and those three, because the assumptions are going to change. Our investment assumptions are going to drop. The retirement board is going to drop those. And so looking out 30 years from now, we want to start changing the trajectory of a few funds. One is the big plan. And let me just say this. None of our funds are near collapse or in dire straits or like some of the other states or like Social Security, which is 0% healthy. I mean, it has 100% liability, which is funded every year. And but there are three funds, the big plan, the Fire B, and the Warden's plan, which have a trajectory over the next 30 years that is not positive under the new assumptions. And the old assumptions were an 8%, and they're dropped to a 7.75. So as you look at that chart and you find Fire B, you can see that they go down. Under current assumptions, you bet. You could probably grant a COLA. A recommendation from the retirement board to do that. But in the long run, that's where it's at. So this bill, let's just back up. It was part of the compensation issues, and perhaps you said this on Friday, it was part of the compensation issues. Remember a few years ago when we added 1.43 to the employee share to the big plan? I can guarantee you all employees in the state know what 1.43% of their wages are. Came right out of the top, just like Social Security this month for the rest of Americans. And so part of this was a compensation idea, and this bill originally started out as 2% and 2% in the big plan, 4% increase over the next 2 years. And the retirement board came back and said, probably slow down a little bit. And so it was our wish as an appropriations committee to at least start moving in the right direction. So we took 0.5 and 0.5 over the next 2 years, a half a percent and a half a percent, and then we adjusted those to the other plans. So you can see the warden's plan goes up, it's almost a percent, 0.90 percentage change, but the Fire B, which is healthier than those other two, is a much smaller, so it's a quarter of a percent. So it's a quarter percent this year and a quarter percent next year. Now, a couple of years ago when we passed an increase to these plans, we prohibited employers out there from using state monies to pay this employee share. That is not the case now in this bill. So this will be part of their negotiations. And it's a mixed bag around the state. Some cities pay more than others. Some don't pay any. Some pay most all of it. So those will be things, but it's a quarter of a percent. And I think if you talk to folks out there, do you want to get this trajectory going in the right direction? Do we want to make a modest correction now so in 2040 the plan is fully healthy and fully funded? Generally, when you talk to people, they say yes. I mean, I'll do my part, whatever it takes. But this is really a compensation piece, and we're encouraging the employers to pick up that employee share and certainly not prohibiting it. So, and I appreciate what the good representative from the Capital City is trying to do, but I think it's such a modest piece that I'd urge you to vote against the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor, Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and with great trepidation, I'll push back against my esteemed Chairman of Appropriations. And it's not so much the modest amount we're talking about here, it's more the principle. Now, when, as he said, they're going to go back to negotiations, but the problem with that is, you know how negotiations go. Number one, they're going to be a couple years out. I think in a couple years we can come back and look at this plan, and if it starts to have a downward trajectory, then we can start to look at maybe having an increase in benefits paid by either the employee or the employer. But at this point, it's really a matter of principle. I think we're sending the wrong message here, I would encourage the body to just look at the numbers, look at the handouts, look what I handed to you, look what we did last year. And even my Appropriations Committee Chairman did say, you know, maybe, yeah, we should be probably looking at a COLA for these guys. But to make them take money out of their pockets, even though it's a modest amount, based on what they've done in the past with their plan, I think they've taken real good care of it. It's important to them. It's important to us that we make right decisions. So I encourage your support on the amendment.
We're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 250. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no?
No.
Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 250 has failed. We are now on second reading amendment number two to House Bill 250. Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number two. And we just got done talking about Firefighters B. And just to remind you, this bill is dealing with three of our plans. The big plan, which almost everybody's in, all our state employees, all our school teachers, cities, counties, everybody's in the big plan. The other part this bill is dealing with is the warden, DCI, highway patrol plan, because they're under, you know, they're not doing as well. And then the other part's Firefighter B. This amendment only deals with the big plan. It's not dealing with the warden plan or with the Firefighter B plan. It's dealing just with the big plan. In regards to the big plan, if you look at the end of this bill in the physical note, you'll see that we're going to be paying all this out of the general fund. So what they did, they're doing a full percentage point increase but they split it up, a half percentage point in 2013 and a half percentage in 2014. The 2013 year, it's on the employee side. 2014 year, it's on the employer side. But what we agreed to do, the state of Wyoming, through their general fund, is going to pay the employee side and the employer side. So even though there's a half on one side, half on the other, we're going to pay both. And you can see that reflected in the fiscal note. We're going to pay out $3,750,000 out of the school foundation account to pay for the teachers that are in the big plan. And then we're going to pay out $1,766,000 for those state employees that are in the big plan. So we took care of our employees and we took care of the teachers. Who may be left out is we did not appropriate any funds for cities and counties to pay this. So here's what's going to happen. On August 31st, 2013, so this year, the employee side goes up a half percentage, half of a percentage. The cities and counties are going to have to find that money. So what this amendment does is it gives them the money just for the 10-month period of time from September 1st, 2013 through June of 2014. So it's just a 10-month period of time. That's where that $1.9 million comes from. Because this actually turns out to be, this is an unfunded mandate on our cities and counties of $4.75 million. $4.75 million per year. That's how much we're talking. So because it's implemented over time, you're doing the 10 months in 2013, then you add the next half percentage in 2014. By the time you get to fiscal year 2016, it's $4.75 million. $4.75. Now, I'm not trying to fix that. That's going to be a recurring cost that the cities and counties are going to have to pick up, $4.75 million. All I wanted to do was figure out a way to help the cities and counties for just those 10 months until we can come back in next budget session and find a more permanent solution. So all the $1.9 million that you see there in that amendment, that appropriates directly to the cities and counties in the same proportion that their entities pay into the system. So they're getting exactly what they would have to pay, and it would only be until June 30th of 2014. I think that's only fair to our cities and counties. That I think we all agree that this is a good bill. I like the bill because we're trying to get our retirement plans up to 100%, get them back on better footing. And it's good. It's a good bill because you notice here you don't see the judicial plan. You don't see the law enforcement plan. There's a few plans here you don't see because they're well-funded. So you only are seeing three, which is good, the warden plan, the fireman's B plan, and it's probably a bad thing that you're seeing the big plan here, but those are big. So it's a good idea that we're doing this bill. But if we're going to go ahead and pay for all the teachers, and we're going to go ahead and pay for all the state employees, the question becomes, why are we leaving all the cities and counties out? Now, I've heard the rejoinder is, well, that's what they're going to use their direct distribution for. Well, I know a lot of cities and counties that sort of seem to think they were going to use their direct distribution for something else. Now they're going to have to spend their direct distribution to pay for an unfunded mandate that we just gave them. All this does is makes them whole for the next 10 months until we can come back in the budget session and find a more permanent solution for the funding.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I hesitate to talk so much this morning because, unfortunately, I'm going to be talking too much when we get House Bill 1, particularly early on. But, okay, if you take out your goldenrod, we can do two things at once here. And the all-important line, number 6. And you see that $13.4 million that's on the table for saving and spending. So it's good news. It hasn't changed much, has it? And there's only one bill added to that. $12,500 was Senate File 149, complimentary hunting license. So that's hanging in there. We'll talk about the school side, too, at some point. But just to talk then about this bill. So this will take 1.9 off of that. And I'm not going to push hard on this. I mean, it's your decision. This is a one-time expenditure proposal by the good chairman of Judiciary. But I will say this 1.9 is in addition to the $20 million extra in the budget bill that we appropriated on top of the $40 million that will be distributed to cities, towns, and counties this August. So last year, we did 130-some million. 50 of that went out right away, 40 last August. There'll be another 40 in direct distribution, plus 20 on top of that. And then the gas tax is about another $36 million to locals for roads. So it's really your choice. You know, there's a, he eloquently argued a fundamental fairness piece of that. I won't argue with that, but I will say the real unfunded mandate that he spoke of is not this 1.9 million, but it's the billion in the big plan. That's the unfunded mandate that we want to make sure we can close that gap over the next 30 years. And I appreciate his support for the bill. And so I'm going to vote no, but, you know, I'm not going to push hard on this. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Mr. Speaker, where our good chairman was gentle, I would be inclined to not be so gentle, because this really is a sea change in how we deal with local governments. If you go ahead and approve this amendment, you know, we have not before dove into local governments and said we are going to accept responsibility for paying a portion of your employees' compensation. We're going to let you decide how many people you hire. We're going to let you decide what you pay them, and you're going to unilaterally be able to bind us and put us on the hook for that compensation. That's never happened. And what we have done historically with retirement is exactly what we have done in the bill as it stands without the amendment, which is we direct the employers to pay that share, and it's I mean, that's the cost of being part of the plan. That's the cost of being part of the plan. And so I would really urge strong caution by the body, because this is really an unprecedented step forward into how we may, you know, get pulled into funding local government employees.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just to remind you that if you look on the bill, there's no prohibition this year. I mean, in the past, we've put a prohibition that the cities and counties could not spend their money and that the employee had to pay it. So, but they still have that option. So remember, the cities and counties could decide on the 0.5% that's going to happen on August 31st, 2013. The cities and counties could actually say, employees, you're going to have to pay that yourselves. We're not getting into that. And I just wanted to make sure, I you know, when both the Majority Whip and the Chairman of Appropriations get up, I know my amendment doesn't have much of a chance. But I just wanted to make the point, because you're going to get a lot of these questions when you get home. Your mayor's going to be asking you, your county commissioners are going to be asking you, why did you put this extra expense on us? And you're going to need to be able to explain that. And I think you can. I think you can explain, well, we're underwater. We got to get it back up. I think the frustration I think that some cities and counties have is that we do this a lot. We send down these unfunded mandates and say, you know, hey, we gave you money in the gas tax. Hey, we gave you money over here in direct distribution. And I think that's actually a pretty good rejoinder. And maybe that is where they're going to have to use that money from. I think they were expecting to use their direct distribution for other things. Now they have to use it to pay for this unfunded mandate. As long as everyone understood that, I just wanted to make sure everyone understood that, that what we were doing to cities and counties, we weren't exactly helping them. We're telling them they have to spend money and they don't have a choice. And I think this would be a good compromise. It's just for 10 months until we can come back in the budget bill. It's just for the next 10 months, for August 31st, 2013 through June of 2014. And then we can figure out something from there. But adding $4.75 million to the obligations of our cities and counties, I think that's just going too far.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 250. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 250 fails. House Bill 250 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. And the last bill on second reading for our consideration is House Bill 255.
House Bill 255, presented by Representative Nicholas. An act relating to school finance.
House Bill 255 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're now in that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills. House Bill 109, 134, 145, 166, 176, 205, 229, and 243.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, just to be clear for everybody, you've moved 243 from the regular list to the consent list.
That's correct, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, just so everybody knows, 243 is off the regular list and on the consent list. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll. Oh, we've got to read them first.
House Bill 109, as introduced by Representative Wallace, an act relating to interstate shipment of meat and poultry, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 134, from Representative Brown, an act relating to highways, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 145, introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to insurance, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 166, introduced by Representative Harshman, an act relating to the Hathaway Student Scholarship Program, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 176, from Representative Stebson, an act relating to school district capital construction funding, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 205, from Representative Northrop, an act relating to motor vehicles, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 229, as represented by Representative Larson, an act relating to regulation of natural gas, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 243, introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to crimes, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Dingery.
Aye.
Goggles. Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux, Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff, Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace excused, Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 109, are there any changes? Bird, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 57 aye, 2 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 134, are there any changes? Teeters, aye to no. Simlick, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dave, aye to no. Hutchings, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Winters, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 45 aye, 14 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 145, are there any changes? Stubson, aye to no. Gingery, aye to no. Walters, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Lockhart, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 47 aye, 12 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 166, are there any changes? Gay, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Byrd, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Hutchings, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 5 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 176, are there any changes? Semlich, aye to no. Kirkbride, aye to no. Winters, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dave, aye to no. Hutchings, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Blevins, aye to no. Northrup, aye to no. Walters, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Gagey, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Pieperinen, aye to no. Coleman, aye to no. Baker, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Patton, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Barlow, aye to no. Blickery, aye to no. Kasparic, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Larson, aye to no. Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Berger, aye to no. Are there any further changes? The vote is closed. 27 aye, 32 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 205, are there any changes? Baker, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Byrd, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 3 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 229, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 243, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
Having failed to receive the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 176 has failed to pass the House. Having received the affirmative vote of a majority of members elected to the House, House Bills 109, 134, 145, 166, 205, 229, and 243 have passed the House. We're at that order of business of third reading and final passage regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 77.
House Bill 77 is introduced by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, an act relating to lotteries be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There are two amendments. We will take the second one first. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What this amendment does is kind of just re-juxtaposes the numbers. If you'll notice that 45% of the net amount is goes to, in the current bill as it stands, goes for prizes. This changes that to 40% of the gross. So it redefines net versus gross. The next thing it does is it guarantees that a minimum of 30% of the gross goes to the state of Wyoming. So it's a mechanism to ensure that if this lottery comes into play, that 30% will go to the state at regardless, and that 40% of the gross goes to, and as opposed to 45% of the net, goes to the prize winnings. And in a nutshell, that's what this does. So it's merely a mechanism to say, okay, if we're going to have a lottery, let's make sure that the gross amount is used versus the net amount on what the benefits are and who it pays out to. And if you have any questions, literally that's what the bill does. Pretty simple.
Chairman's one, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would respectfully ask you to vote no on this. It's well-intended, and it may be a great amendment to bring after the corporation gets underway. But basically what it's going to do, the corporation needs to go out and find financing, even to get established. And this limits, I would think, the flexibility of the plan to establish that financing, because it demands that we put so much of the profits over into the permanent mineral trust fund, excuse me. And then, of course, obviously, we have to have a certain percentage that stays for the proceeds for prize money. And, of course, the retailers get a percentage, and so then you have a very defined margin of what you can have for a profit center. And as we all know, as we get endeavors started, that you need as much cash up front and you need as much promise up front as possible. And I think this would be great for rule making once the corporation gets underway, but I think it will hinder letting that corporation going out and securing the financing they need. So I'd just like to remind the body that this is not a state agency and there's no money coming out of general funds. They have to go out into the marketplace and give them their business plan and say, this is our business plan, this is why it's good. There's money to be made there, and I would respectively ask you to vote no.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor.
By the way, the other thing that this does is...
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. But the other thing that this does is it instead of paying it out to the cities and counties, it puts all the money into the permanent trust fund so that all those monies then go to build the corpus of our permanent mineral trust fund. Instead of... That way it's a feed. It's not something that anyone is relying upon. It's just a mechanism by which we save money for the state over time. And I would just suggest that if you think about it, you've got 30%, 40%, and 6%, which you can pay up to the retail stores. So that means that if this mechanism can't survive on 24% of the proceeds, then it's not a viable option. And part of the problem with lotteries is... they tend to be, or their employees tend to be some of the highest paid in other states. This is a mechanism to say, well, if we're going to do this, let's make sure the money goes to the state first.
Put in a second or third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 77. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 77 has failed. We're now on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 77. Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 77 and ask for your favorable consideration. I felt that it would be a good plan before we voted on this bill to discuss it thoroughly. And we've done this before on the floor, and I think it'd be a good idea to talk about it again before we vote. I'm in my second session here, and over the course of time, I've established some principles that have been shaped a lot by some senior legislators here. And this one here, this bill kind of works against those principles that I've established. And so I guess I would like to open this up to debate.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had the opportunity this summer to go to the National Council of Legislators from gambling states, and there were the pros and cons, and as I discussed with leadership whether I should go, they said, yes, go down and hear the goods and the bads, and the folks that are really pushing this all around the United States, of course, have their good points. And then there were folks that were saying, this isn't such a good thing. Let me read you some of the comments that I wrote down from the sessions that I attended. What you take in is determined by the surrounding states. And we've heard some things about, you know, as we are going out of state, we're going to keep it in state and so forth. But that created a lot of debate with this more competition idea. Another one is there's only so many dollars to go around. And so what we're doing is we're taking dollars from this place and putting it into this place. And we've had this discussion before. It's kind of, you know, some people are going to fund the good things that the money is going to be used for, kind of a regressive tax type thing. And my idea is if we want to have these things, let's just, and I'm not a tax guy, but let's just be a little fair with everybody. Another one is gambling is not recession-proof. As you are aware, Las Vegas is going through a real, most of their funding comes from their casinos, so forth, their gambling, and they're really having a tough time. And of course, this is a small scale, as the chairman, the bringer of the bill, pointed out. So this isn't anything that we're really deciding on. There was a senator from the state to our north. He just said, is it north? Anyway, we're talking about the gem state. Is that the right state? They had the lottery there. And his comment is he wishes they'd have never had it. The intent was for education. It didn't end up helping their education a lot because as money started coming in, and there wasn't as much as they thought would come in, it kind of got taken from another fund. Well, here's how we're going to fund the education. So it really didn't help. The private management was something that was really discussed. And if you'll look at our bill, this is going to be a board, 9 directors appointed by the governor. Their salary and per diem will be decided by them. I'm a little bit worried about that, leaving their chief executive director and all the powers and the duties that they would like. Is this going to create something that we really aren't able to control? They do have to report to the JAC and the state auditor all their revenues and expenses, so even though they say they're a private organization, they're going to be under the preview. I guess there's a lot of things I could say, but I will just leave it at that. The last little comment that I got, rather than drawing money in from out of state, the lottery would feed on the existing economy by depleting local dollars, and we've had this discussion. Everybody's choice is if they want to or don't want to. Are we going to have some dollars being spent on this that need to go for food, clothing, family benefits because of this? And so I appreciate the bringer of this amendment giving us a chance to think about this one more time. I just don't think this is a good idea for government to be getting into, and suggesting getting something for nothing is a good idea. So I think we should vote for the amendment and against the bill. Thank you.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First time to reserve a second.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would have preferred a couple days ago if we had adopted the amendment that would have allowed for us to answer the question as to whether or not government should be involved in the entertainment industry in such a fashion. But, of course, that was taken down. But I speak very seriously to you because I ask for you to look 70 or 80 years into the future at this particular, at our state, as the end result of the legislation before you. Because there is no doubt about it, this is a regressive tax that will raise really very little revenue in our state. And the fact is, this kind of tax is a very inefficient kind of tax. Whatever monies are raised are quickly spent in the overhead of ticket printing, millions in advertising, and then the mitigation of the negative effects that stem from raising these taxes by this means. There are only so many funds, so much funds in a population to expend where there is no return. And this simply is a new means to pick the pockets of our citizenry. And this will most heavily fall upon those who can least afford it. And as a result, it will damage families and cause hardship upon us all. And I say that because those individuals will then have to turn to the state to pick up the pieces of their ruined lives. Most states with lotteries recognize this. That's why 15 states have mandated funding from their lotteries for various gambling addictions. And I believe everyone here notices these effects because we have written right into this bill an attempt to assuage our consciences. This bill proposes to provide $200,000 to address the mental health costs involved in this state-sponsored vice. And this is akin to setting bear traps all over the place and then providing first aid stations for people who inevitably get caught. Right now, the argument has been, well, the bear traps down to the south of us gain a certain amount of money already, so we should move the bear traps closer to our hometowns. My friends, that doesn't make any sense to me personally. Now, as you look into the future, let me just tell you a story of when I was in my master's program in our westernmost state. I watched a lady walk to the front of a store there, a large chain store, and she cashed her check, and it was an elderly lady wearing a polyester pantsuit, and she spent quite a bit of time. I went on in, and I was getting some half and half for my coffee, which, of course, is a wonderful thing to do. I didn't take very long. I walked back to the front, and as I stood in the checkout line, I watched as she began to gamble that money away. And it's kind of like watching a car wreck. I couldn't take my eyes off of it. And I watched her time after time after time spend money on more tickets, on more tickets. I had finished checking out, and I stood there at the end of the line. I just stood to the side and watched. After a little while, this sweet little old lady caught up in an addiction, turned around, and her chin began to quiver because she had just spent all of her money on a vice. And I began to wonder, who is that profiting? Because inevitably she will turn around and fall upon the social safety net that we have in place. And we will pay for that vice. If we are going to raise a tax, I would concur with others that we should raise it directly. But not by through the means of damaging other people's lives in the process. So I ask for you to vote against this bill. This is something that has no business in state government. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Senator Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to bring it back to what this bill does and what this bill doesn't do. First, I kind of find it disingenuous to attack it from both sides. Either this is a private organization that's out of the state control as it is now, or I guess we can set salaries and set limits and have the state government come in and try to oversee the corporation. But I don't think anyone in this body wants the corporation board of entities to be under state control, and the bill doesn't have it under state control. So attacking it as somebody did from, you know, being an out-of-control corporation, not under the government's control, and then, you know, after having attacked it for being a state entity at the same time, just blows my mind. But let me bring it back to what this bill does and doesn't do, because we heard a lot about that state with all the gambling. That state, they aren't one of the 44 states that are involved in the multi-state lotteries. They don't have the two official named entities that are multi-state that we all know that our neighbors to the south have. They don't do that. They don't have a statewide lottery. They don't need it. They have gambling. And if all these, if our state is going to let all this vice into Wyoming, 44 states already do this, including every state around us, except for the one to our west, which we all know why. And they have some other gambling in all those states as well. And we have gambling in our state in the middle of Wyoming that we can all travel to. But what this does is just sets up, this isn't scratch tickets. This isn't class 3 gaming. It's not roulette or blackjack or poker, all of which you can go to any bar in the state now in most counties and find. And if you want to lose your house or your life savings or have instant gratification, all you have to do is go down the street in any Wyoming community. And so, you know, I hear all those horror stories about vice and sin, but I didn't see any of those people bring a bill to stop poker in any of our bars this year. They all voted for a bill that did a hunting lottery that I would argue what we passed with that bill yesterday on Friday. It's much more of an instant gratification with a lot of money that's coming into the state, and that seemed to be fine. This is simple, multi-state, multi-state, joining what 44 states do now. I don't see all of the bad things that are going to happen from this bill that people keep putting forward. And so if we could just keep the discussion back to what the bill does and what it doesn't do, and it is entertainment, not gambling in my mind. And certainly I know my constituents in this county want it. That's the number one campaign issue. I get asked more than any other issue when I go door to door is when are we getting multi-state gaming that they can buy their tickets instead of going to Colorado and spending money every time I go campaigning for 9 years. So I'd ask you to vote for the bill this year and move it forward. Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, I normally wouldn't ask this question, but since this is the last day of general file for House bills, is there anybody here who doesn't have their mind made up on this bill? Okay. Representative Pieperinen, if you'd like to...
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to stand on and against House Bill 77, the Wyoming Lottery Bill. I appreciate the words of District 28 Representative. Wyoming has always been a light on the hill, a leader in this nation on a variety of topics. But let's not become a follower on issues that are far less noble. Just because everyone else is doing it, doesn't mean Wyoming ought to. We teach kids in our schools to make good choices and not give in to negative peer pressures, but to take a higher road. Let's take a stand for generations to come and support Wyoming's virtue. Let us show surrounding states that a state doesn't have to prostitute itself to earn a little extra money. There can be no question about the moral ramifications of gambling. A lottery is a form of gambling regardless of the high-sounding purpose it may be advocated to meet. The question of lotteries is a moral question. The government now promotes what it once enforced laws against and becomes a sad reflection on the deterioration of public and political morality in this nation. Lotteries are advocated as a means of relieving the burden of taxes, but a tax by any other name is still a tax. Except in this case, the burden usually falls on the poor who can least afford to pay it. An editorial in USA Today stated, "Lotteries aren't painless. The overwhelming majority of players always lose. The game takes bread and money from the poor, and it is one more temptation for the compulsive gamblers who ruin careers and families with the addiction. In this context, it becomes a moral issue. Brothers and sisters of this legislature, this vote could be close. For the benefit of the people of Wyoming and those future generations, for Wyoming's virtue, let's take a third reading stand and vote against this bill.
Representative Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just implore you to remember that when I talked about the study that was done and the things we did in my early years here, and the lottery people told us that Wyoming does not have the population to sustain a lottery. And I believe that we're fooling ourselves if we think the state of Wyoming is not going to get into this and cost the state money. I wonder who's paying to set this whole thing up. And once we get into it, we will never get out of it. So I just ask you to remember that.
Representative Watt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Since all of the states, except for Utah, around us have lotteries, all of the money generated in Wyoming will be money that is diverted from our traditional economy, an economy which supports jobs, businesses, and generates sales tax. Do we want that money to be taken out of our state economy? I want to use a figure that was given last Friday. $3 million goes south of here. Now, I don't remember whether it was said from Albany County or from the city of Cheyenne. So I used the population of Cheyenne. 56,000 people live in Cheyenne. $3 million goes down south to that one grocery store. That would mean $53.57, man, woman, and child in Cheyenne every single year. So do the math. Take all the children, 18 and under, out of that 56,000. Now it goes up. It won't be $53.57, man, woman, and child, because we took the children out. Take out some for the elderly that no longer can drive. I don't know how many that would be. And then take out, I don't know, all the preachers of churches. That number, population base, now goes down. Take out people like those of us who have spoken against lottery, and it goes down even more. So I don't know what the bottom number is going to be. But it's to get $3 million spent just south of here, it's going to take a lot of money. One last thing. I saw in a newspaper article that sponsors this bill. It was said $20 to $40 million would be made in Wyoming. Well, do the math again. Wyoming has 560,000 people. Divided into 40 million, you come up with $71 every man, woman, child every year to make that 40 million. So 460,000 is $86 man, woman, and child. 360,000 population, it goes down to $111. See, start taking out those people that aren't going to buy the lottery tickets, and the amount of money that's spent per person becomes a huge amount of money that we really can't afford to spend.
Representatives Wanitz or Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I apologize to the body for taking up time, because I know we have first reading bills coming up later today, but as sponsor of the bill, I just wanted to put out three or four bullet points. I will not get up and talk again if no one else gets up except the sponsor of the amendment. Lottery, in my opinion, is not gambling. It's simply entertainment. There is a fine distinction there. You use your own judgment. Yes, the LSO said $20 to $40 million would be generated by the lottery, but remember, we have 8 to 9 million tourists that come into the state of Wyoming. Surely we're going to capture some of their money. And remember, we have the right to spend our money however we want to. I mean, we spend it everywhere. We spend it in bars and on pull tabs and churches, on food, on the computer. We play bingo. And we have casinos in the state already. So it's our choice where we want to put our dollars. The majority of people on a survey said they're for it, and I would appreciate you voting against the amendment, but for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Hutchins.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker, I too apologize for getting up to speak, and I will be brief, and I will try not to repeat anything someone else has said. I'm mainly speaking because someone in the lobby told me Friday that I dare not speak out against this bill and give my opinion on the floor. So I'm going to come and give my quick opinion on this bill. Someone in our committee this morning said something that I thought fit this bill. We don't build lottery systems because everyone is going to be a winner. I've always said you're more likely to be struck by lightning 750,000 to 1 than to win the lottery. That's my quick opinion, and I'm proud of it. Thank you, sir.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I apologize for taking up time. I'm not sure everybody has made up their mind. I guess one of the things I wanted to set straight, I've been pressured by, especially by the media, concerning my stance on this, that it's a religious one, and it probably is. My faith is affected somewhat by it, but I've gone to that state west of here and that has the casinos, and I've pulled the levers and found the cheapest nickel poker machine I could find, so I'd lose my money slowly that way. But and the lottery tickets, I don't know as I've ever done that before, but I don't think it would really bother me a lot to do that, but I use my money very judiciously. My debate is probably more limited to the role of government. We're gatekeepers. We're supposed to watch over what the state of Wyoming allows and doesn't allow. And I think we've probably made it fairly clear that the poor are the people that are targeted the most, and probably this could be said to be a tax on the poor. As far as the compulsive end of it, I'm not an expert on it, but we had a legislator a couple years ago that had firsthand knowledge of a family ruined, and it was by buying lottery tickets. They went into bankruptcy. So I don't know whether, you know, the compulsive behavior was there or what triggered it, but it did have to do with gambling, so I would kind of push back on the idea that it isn't something that the state will have to deal with. There will be some social consequences, and the state will be the one that pays for this. We're a state that has offered education as a way to prosperity for our people, not a game of chance. And as far as education goes, this state has really put its money where its mouth is. We've got Hathaway scholarships, and those are dollars that are even disputed by some people, but I think they're well-spent dollars. To get people educated, that's a way out of poverty. To offer them a form of entertainment that I don't think fits with Wyoming's philosophy of a family-oriented entertainment. So with that, I would withdraw my amendment, Mr. Speaker, and call for the vote.
Thank you, Representative Eklund. And brothers and sisters, don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to limit your debate with my comments. I'm just trying to get everyone's bills through. Chief Clerk will call the roll. I guess House Bill 77 having been read 3 separate times, question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
No.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Filer,
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz. Moniz. Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Semlick.
No.
Summers.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace excused. Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Wilson. Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Stubson, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 31 aye, 28 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 77, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 77 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 99. There is an amendment. Representative Croker.
I got to read it first.
I'm sorry.
I'll get it. Okay. House Bill 99, as introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to campaign funds, be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 99 and ask for your favorable consideration. With House Bill 99, there are essentially two things that this bill does. The first is it regulates what we're allowed to do during the campaign with the funds that have been donated to us, and the second is what we're allowed to do with them after the campaign is over and in disposing of them. And the concerns were raised, and I agreed with them in the initial debate that because everything is transparent during the campaign, it's all online, and by setting up strict rules and regulations, do we create a situation where somebody's upset because they lost in a campaign and it was a bitter campaign, so they go online and comb through and look through the expenses and try and bring charges against somebody? So it kind of seems to me that we're setting up a situation where we're trusting the goodwill of opposing candidates to not abuse this power, and I'm not sure that we can put that trust in them. I'm also of the opinion that because everything is online, it's already transparent. There's no doubt as to where our campaign funds are being used for during the campaign. So I don't see a need to regulate that side of it. The second thing that this bill does is allows for what to do with disposal of campaign funds once the campaign is over. Well, I fully support that idea because right now there is no accountability. There is no transparency there. So I think it's legitimate and good policy to put in place what we're allowed to do with the funds after the campaign's over because there is no transparency. So what this amendment does is it gets rid of the first half of the bill, and it's operating under the theory that that we don't need to put the rules and regulations in place because everything's transparent, everything's online, everything's open. So this would make the bill so it only affects what happens to the disposal of campaign funds after the campaign's over. So I'll stand for any questions and would ask for your favorable consideration.
Representatives, Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor, I think, of the amendment. This bill certainly wasn't intended to be a trap for the unwary. And I think that the good representative from my home county makes some good points. I think this is a substantial, with the amendment, this still is a substantial step forward. It sets the guidelines that we need to make sure that we all act with integrity and in the way that we expect, that our constituents expect us to act. So I think I would urge your aye vote on the amendment and on the bill. I think it takes us down the road where we need to go and ensures that we're all using our campaign funds wisely.
Put in on third reading amendment number one. Is anybody else for a second time? Second time prior to the sponsor. Voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 99. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 99 has passed. Where House Bill 99 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Blevins, Litcrey,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
no.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Davison,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
no.
Filer,
no.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
no.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman, Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
no.
Hutchings,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
no.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
no.
Semlick,
no.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace excused, Walters,
no.
Watt,
no.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Hutchings? No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 39 aye, 20 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 99, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 99 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 215.
House Bill 215, as introduced by Representative Patton, an act relating to state investments, be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment, Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 215 and ask for your favorable consideration. Since we had such good discussion about this bill in the prior two readings, I wanted to give us one last chance. And I think this is this minimizes at least some of the damage of the bill. And if you look at in your box, there's a handout that has my initials on it, House District 56. And this is it's page 30, a printout from the annual report from the state treasurer. And what you'll see at the top of that handout is it's got all the listings of the different investments for public purposes. And there's listed A through N there. And you can see, and this is in the first column of that handout, there's it's entitled Statutory Allotment, and it shows all the amounts authorized in statute for these various programs, which are investments for public purpose. And you total that amount, and it's over $1 billion, $1,044,000,000. And so what we have done with this bill is, if you look on line J, the industrial development bonds, the bill as it stands reduces that to $200 million from $600 million. But at the bottom, so that's a $400 million reduction, and then at the bottom it reduces it $500 million. And so where the statutory allotment is after that change from $600 to $200, we're down to an allotment, a statutory allotment of $644 million, but the authorization under the bill in front of you is only $500 million. So what we have done by not increasing that second number, or by decreasing that second number disproportionately, we have inadvertently squeezed down on all these other programs. And so if with my amendment, it moves that total, that statutory allotment, up to $600 million, which is more in line with where it stands relative to the total amounts provided under statute right now. So that's what we're trying to do so that we don't, in moving down that to the $500 million, inadvertently impact all these other programs, all these other investments for public purposes. And remember, we're still, this is all still a matter totally within the discretion of the treasurer and the governor's office, and in some matters, our discretion as well. So I'd urge your aye vote on the third reading amendment. I think it makes those two numbers work together as they should, and doesn't have the inadvertent impacts on the other investments that the current numbers do.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Appreciate the amendment. We get one more chance to visit what I think is important. $100 million is what is being changed, taking the statutory allotment from $600 million down to $500 million. But we have, if you take a look at the right-hand column, we've taken the $100 million of amount available up to $200 million. So we've got $200 million, and to date we have offerings or issues that are being presented to from the Business Council for consideration, of about $68 million. So that gives us a balance, workable balance, of about $132 million. Consider, in fact, that the outstanding investments there is zero. So you have to ask yourself, as I have in the past, is this serious money? Is $100 million serious money to you? We have gone from an asset allocation of 20% being the former amount, $1 billion, of the $550 million, billion that is in investment available. We've taken it down to right at 10%, which in most asset allocations is still high. I don't know how many of you have been around, but how many of you have, other than farmers and ranchers, who have an incredible percentage invested in land, have taken liquid funds or investable funds and put it in 10%? In my experience, I've had people come into the office that had asset allocation and they were working with it, a long-term investment. That's what it was intended for, was long-term. And that long-term investment, they heard on the street or from a friend or from a compadre that here was a hot, hot item. Come into the office and say they wanted to buy a given amount of money in that. And my question, my answer to them, because I knew the company, I knew about it, that we were unable to get a Form K-1 from the company. We didn't have any past experience. We didn't know what it was. My suggestion to them is, okay, I can't recommend it. I can't recommend you do that. But what I can tell you is I'll get it for you. But my suggestion is buy what you feel you can lose. I don't think that we're in the position of having 10% go up is the right direction for our investment allocation when we've got $132 million available above and beyond what has currently been proposed. So the mathematics of it is we in the State Department and in the State Treasurer's Office, if you look at the outstanding amount and the lower amount down there, $334 million is invested in the state of Wyoming. Those are bonds that are purchased on the marketplace. They can be sold, they can be disposed of, and the capital can be regained. So when we're talking about principal or corpus of the foundations, that $334 million means that it is invested in the state, and it is liquid, and it is available for the use and the determination of the state. With that, $200 million, is now available on amount available for the investment. That's still over 10% of the amount that that is available for the asset allocation. And asset allocation to me is important. I hope that it's important to you, that it is serious money. I urge you to reject the amendment.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, but still against the bill. It was interesting that the fine rep from House District 56 says, with this amendment, it does less damage. And that's what this entire bill is doing, is damage to economic development within Wyoming. Again, I caution the body, if you want more money invested back with the folks back east, you think they're wiser than our people here in Wyoming with some of these investments, vote against the amendment and for the bill. But I'm voting for the amendment and against the bill.
Anyone else for your first time? First time, second time prior to the sponsor, Mr. Majority Whip. Voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 215. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
House or chair is in doubt. All in favor, please rise. Opposed. Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 215 fails. House Bill 215, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell. Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Davison,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gingery, Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Green,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparik, Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
no.
Larson,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
no.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
no.
Throne, Wallace, excused. Walters.
No.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 33 aye, 26 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 225, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 225 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 215. House Bill 215, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House. House Bill 215 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 225.
House Bill 225, as introduced by Representative Somers, an act relating to brands, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 225, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson. Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pipirinen,
aye.
Reeder, Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace excused, Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 excused.
House Bill 225, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 225 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 230.
House Bill 230, introduced by Representative Winters, an act relating to school safety and security, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There is an amendment, Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This particular amendment simply just restores the language back to the original $5.5 million funding as opposed to the $2.3 million that was proposed earlier on through a committee amendment. This ensures that the funds are available for properly funding this program, which I believe the veracity of is has already been discussed quite a bit. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman,
Mr. Chairman, I move the amendment.
Thank you. That would be moved third reading amendment number one to House Bill 230. Okay. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on and against the amendment and unfortunately against the bill, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that this amendment, while trying to restore the money back to $5 million, still leaves a huge gap of over $10 million to fully meet the needs of school resource officers in this state. I think it provides a false sense of security for us to take action before we've had ample opportunity to study this, and I think it's too soon. I think it's too early. I think we all want to react based on the tragedies that have occurred in this country, but this amendment is not, in my opinion, going to make our schools any safer. I think it will provide for some more school resource officers, but at the same time, it still leaves a huge hole in the system. I think we need to study it. I would be happy to bring it as an interim topic and come back. The governor's office is looking at it right now, but I think it's too early and too soon, and I would ask you to vote no on the amendment and no on the bill.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of the amendment. With the money that's there, pretty much all you're doing is funding who already has them. What the intent was to get school districts that don't have school resource officers to look into doing this. And here's the problem, and we talked about this before. The schools that are already doing it are taking the money out of their block grant, but we're not actually providing the money in the block grant for it. So other services are not being done because they're taking that money. What this does is just like we did with instructional facilitators, put it outside the model and let them ask for the money specifically for the SROs. And remember, SROs are more than just security. They're doing a lot in that school. They're meeting with kids. They're going to court. They're investigating crimes. The bigger point I would make is we've done a lot of bills dealing with gun violence. And we did a bill the other day that says that teachers and parents can carry guns into schools. That's a fine bill. I think this bill actually gets to that issue even more, because you have a trained person in that school with training. And I think that is a way to address it. I also, I'm a little disappointed. I don't like the idea that the governor wants to keep studying this, you know, and that's fine. He wants to study it. I'd like to deal with it now. I think it's been shown that school resource officers actually make a difference in protecting schools. And what I'm worried about, all we're going to do is we're going to spend a lot of money in consultants and study, and that's what we like to do. And we're going to come back to the same conclusions next year. We know school resource officers work. Why do I need to spend more money on a study? Why do I have to always study everything to death? We're good at knowing what works. SROs work, and I'd urge you to vote for this, and let's get this moving.
Chairman Archman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, just to remind the body, it's been a few days ago, but just kind of the history of this issue, we run a cost-based model. We study what it costs our school districts to deliver education. Supreme Court's mandated that way. We've tried to adhere to that. We recalibrate it every 5 years. So the history has been in 2005. Yes, you need to put something in there. Well, we said as a body, it's more of a facilities issue, and we'll deal with it in the facilities budget. Then as recently as the 2010 recalibration, you should deal with this. Well, we said there's enough money out there in the model, they can find money somewhere else to do it. And here we are, 2013, and as mentioned about the study, and I'll tell you that this Blue Ribbon panel that's already met includes the director of our H-Land. That department has said in two committee meetings that I've heard him speak, here are their three areas that they're working on. Number one, their first priority is SROs. Number two then will be to revisit the facility adequacy standards and guidelines. And then number three is this whole crisis type planning, which this agency does a lot of. So again, it's a cost-based model. I think the good chairman judiciary laid all the issues out, but it's more about now, and I think particularly the smaller school districts that might not have as much flexibility, this will provide one for every school district. So on and for the amendment and for the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just briefly, on and for the amendment. I agree that the studies don't need to be taken care of, and I just want to point out that my community, this has been a priority for our police chief. He doesn't take any money from the school districts yet. We have three officers, and this would help supplement that and provide funding for that, because our school district is seeing tight budget as it is, but he set a priority. I think the study's already been done. The federal government's come out with executive orders, and one of the executive orders is to institute this, so this program is very vital, and I think it works.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The problem here is that this is just the beginning. Roughly $20 million per year is what this is going to cost if we fully implement it. $40 million per biennium. So do you want to fund SROs or do you want to fund education?
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Chairman Archman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My timing was not very good. I was hoping to wait a little longer, but I would just point out that the bill is written. There were some comments from a good member of Appropriations, and I want to gently push back on my colleague. But if the bill is written, one per school district, and then one per every 1,000 FTE. Many of our school districts are under 1,000 FTE, so everyone would be guaranteed one, and then one per every 1,000 students per district. Capital City's district is probably 13,000 students, I'd guess, 12, 13, if memory serves me right, so they'd qualify for 13. So there is a number to this. So this is what it costs. This will restore that full appropriation. It is not going to be $20 million or $40 million. Now, if the legislature decides that, yes, this is a program that we want to fund in our schools, it will cost this per year, and we allocate that. We budget our schools yearly. So the full appropriation is right at $5 million. So it won't be 20, and it won't be 40, unless you all come back and want to double the number of SROs in our schools. And I don't think any proposals are out there to do that. This bill, I think, strikes a pretty good balance. So, again, on in favor of the amendment.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, I don't think it's fair to say that we have a formal recommendation from the Blue Ribbon Panel. The fact is that we don't. The fact is that they're still looking at this issue, and the fact is that it would be premature for us to take any action without having all the information before us. The good gentleman from the southwestern part of the state talks about how there are cooperative agreements where we have officers in our schools at no cost to the district, at no cost to the state. Those are the kinds of cooperative things I'm interested in studying. I don't think it's going to be expensive to study it. My point is we have a bill come to us that is a reaction to a problem, and I don't think it was thought out well enough. And I would urge you to please vote no.
Representative Baker.
Just quickly, there's not no cost associated with this. This is about $80,000 per officer coming out of the city's budget. These are police officers that with benefits.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time prior to this. Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just to remind the body, all this money doesn't get spent. It's just like the IFs. You submit your application for it. So potentially a lot of school districts may say, you know, that's not something we're interested in. So it's not as if the money all gets spent. It could, but it's a fund that you apply for. I'd urge you to vote for the amendment.
Representative Nicholas.
One last time, the original bill, as proposed, was $19 million per year. And so that's where we're going to go with this once this gets through. So just, you got to know the numbers.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To push back again, the $19 million appropriation was something that caused me to drop my jaw on the floor, and I pushed back personally when I saw that number. We are not proposing that number at all. We worked on this very diligently to try to get it down, and we first got it down to 4.2 and then brought it back up to 5.5 million. These are very careful numbers that we've done. And let me also push back against a couple other ideas that have been proposed already. This is not a reactionary idea based on current events. This has been proposed since 2006. The study after study has demonstrated the effectiveness of SROs. This bill is simply attempting to fund for 1 year these positions so that after the Blue Ribbon Panel comes back with their reports, we can find, which they've already explained. Now, this is, of course, not official yet, but they have already explained that the first thing brought up was the efficacy of this particular position. And so this is attempting to provide funds for 1 year to try to help during that interim period. And so I believe I've said everything I need to say. So on and for this amendment and bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 230. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 230 fails. House Bill 230, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Filer. Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparik.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Petrov.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Semlick.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace excused. Walters.
No.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Davison, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Moniz, aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed. 27 aye, 32 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 230 having failed to receive the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 230 has failed to pass the House. We are now at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file budget bill. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, general file of the day will be as outlined on the, not outlined, but as listed on the yellow sheet. And Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, you want committee of the whole or committee of the whole to consider the budget bill?
Well, I don't know, Mr. Speaker. The first item on the general file is the budget bill. Oh, you have it as a separate matter. Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into committee of the whole to consider the budget bill.
Having heard the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. You can't do anything here if it's not on the script, that one on the script. We are now at that order of business of Committee of the Whole on the Budget Bill. Representative Zwanitzer Dan.
Committee of the Whole, please come to order. The reading clerk will read the House bill.
House Bill 01 from Appropriations, an act relating to supplemental appropriations for the operation of state government, increasing or decreasing certain amounts, adjusting the number of authorized positions, modifying prior appropriations, making additional appropriations, making certain appropriations subject to the terms and conditions specified, providing transfers of certain funds as specified, and providing for an effective date.
Chairman Harshman, are you ready?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'd move House Bill 1, and I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 1 do pass. And, Mr. Chairman, if I could take a few minutes on a few remarks, just to kind of lay the ground rules so we're all squared. Would that be okay, Mr. Chairman? Thank you.
Proceed.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you would, we passed out the cheat sheet on Friday, and then if you have House Bill 1, really just two main parts to the governor's recommended budget. The first part really is reductions, additions, and these ETS movements we talked about a little bit Friday, the Enterprise Technology Services. So in gross terms, we started with $90 million. That's what was on the Craig report. And the governor and our select committees recommended approximately $61 million in cuts. Many of you are involved in those discussions with agencies. So the total was about $151 million. The governor then recommended $130 million in spending, in addition to further appropriations of $60 million from the LSRA and $80.8 million from unprofiled, what was termed irregular, capital gains. So the JEC modified the governor's recs, and as a result, there are no appropriations from the LSRA and no appropriations from these unprofiled, quote, irregular capital gains. So after accounting for other bills with appropriations today, there's $13 million on the table for saving or spending, and the smallest supplemental budget in a decade, in 10 years, in terms of expenditures. And so the expenditures, though, that are in this budget are really for one-time items. UW-CapCon is $70 million. Fires, $31 million. Cities and towns, $20 million. Landfills, $15 million. And then the Medicaid, the mandatory expansion, the woodwork, which we put in one-time funding, but which will probably biennialize and be split 50-50 with federal funds, is $14 million in this budget. So 70 UW, 31 fires, 20 cities and towns, 15 landfills, and Medicaid is $14 million. I think the second major part, members, of the budget, so in addition to reductions, additions, ETS movements, was really the governor's letters. And so the governor submits his budget to us late in the fall, and many times circumstances change. There's new information comes, those kind of things. And so the governor then submits letters, and these are technically and formally part of the budget. So they arrive after it's been printed, and so with these corrections and clarifications. Now, the governor's recs proposed many changes in fund flows. The first was diverting the 1% severance flow to the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. So this statutory 1%, he would propose to flow to the LSRA, as well as diverting coal lease bonus monies from the school side to the LSRA. The JAC denied those proposals. The JAC did agree to deappropriate $43 million in AML funds originally intended for the High Plains Gasification Advanced Technology Center, and the governor asked to direct these funds to the College of Engineering. JAC elected to direct the vast majority of these AML funds to the Gillette-Madison Pipeline Project and use the general fund for the College of Engineering. Now, you're going to see that bill come in a separate bill, because remember last year we separated out school CapCon and AMLs from the general budget bill. We used to run those together. And I believe that's Senate File 106, and it'll cross over here, and we'll deal with that here in the coming weeks. So, members, really those two points, reductions, additions, some ETS movements, and change in fund flows were major parts of the budget. And I mentioned that this was the smallest budget really in a decade, and I talked about this Friday. It's really the thickest or the heaviest in terms of volume. And again, those reasons for those ETS transfers and all the reductions. So nearly every agency then was opened up and had to be dealt with. So in those transfers to ETS, there's some 159 employees that were further transferred, and nearly $16 million from across state government. And the overwhelming feedback from agencies has been positive. It's been a plus. It's been a money saver, and service has been really fantastic from the new Department of ETS. Okay, so the second key reason then, we talked about these reductions. And remember, this was a legislative initiative last year that we passed in the budget directing these cuts. And then you folks who were on these standing committees spent some of your interim working these cuts with agencies. So this first started in this body, and then the governor took your recommendations, and those are the agencies, and came to us in December with his budget. And again, that culminated in $60 million in cuts. The JAC cut another $1 million, although there were lots of different cuts and additions, but it netted out as another $1 million in reductions. So how this will work, I've distributed, I think, agency lists with House Appropriation members. So when our committees were set in November, we divvied these up back then, so members have become experts in those areas, and we'll be presenting those budgets. You'll notice returning members that the cheat sheet I mentioned this Friday is much shorter. We eliminated all those middle columns and now have it on letter size paper. And you can see that the footnotes at the bottom of the cheat sheet should go in this order. They're all organized so the JAC actions on the governor's proposals will be number one. The second one will be the ETS transfers. Third, any additions that we add to the budget. And then fourth, any technical corrections. And there might be four, five, six, seven of these, but they will follow that order generally. And so I would get, the last thing I guess would, we will reference the budget bill by page as well. I mentioned Friday, sometimes it's handy to have the cheat sheet on one side and you're flipping the budget bill with the other to provide you more information as we go through. So we will always say number one on your cheat sheet and number six in your bill as we start our presentations. And remember that the budget bill and the cheat sheet only show you the division level. So it goes agency, like agency one, governor, division, I think has four divisions in that budget, maybe five, and then units. And you won't see the units on your cheat sheet or in the budget bill. We only appropriate at the division level. So as a committee, though, and some of you, I think, did some of this work in the interim, you get down into this unit level, and that's where a lot of the nitty-gritty work begins, where you're looking at the thousands of dollars for travel or whatever it might be in different programs. And so, and we generally on JAC have taken a hard look at those 600 and 900 series and contracts and those kind of things. Now, I would tell you that all that information is available on SharePoint. So it's on your browser. You can click and log in to find any handout that was given to us. And literally, you could stack them probably this high. I mean, there's volumes and volumes of agency handouts, and we've tried to kind of do that in a more efficient way as we and have used this technology lift in our iPads. And so it's going to be new, really, to this committee as we try to work through this. Okay, and so House Bill 1 is just like any other bill. All the new things are underlined, so any changes to existing law is underlined, just like any other bill. And you'll note that there's probably a dozen or so agencies you'll find out that appear in your cheat sheet but do not appear in your bill. And those include like Water Development Commission, the Retirement Board, several other boards and commissions. And these agencies do not appear in the bill because either there are changes between series or the JAC denied recommendations altogether. And so, for example, the Gillette-Madison pipeline project, you're going to see that initially it's not in there because we've moved it to the AML bill. And but those things are on the cheat sheet in case you have any questions. And I would just say that I've pass those out. I think you should have that by now, or it's coming out to members and what agencies they have, members of the House Appropriations Committee. So if you have, we're here to serve you. So if you have any questions specifically about an agency that we might have already closed that agency or that section of the bill and we've moved on, and maybe you have a question, and certainly contact the member who presents on that agency, and they'll be happy to answer questions. And certainly if we don't know it, our staff knows it or will find it out, and because I know there's certain areas that you will all have a special interest in. So how this will work, Mr. Chairman, is that I will move each section, and then I will either explain it or defer. And you'll see I have the first five. So I won't. You're going to hear me for the first five, and then you won't hear me most the rest of the day. And it'll be different members that I'll defer to, and then they'll answer your question. Then we'll take a vote, and we'll close that section. And then we'll move on to the next section. And so the sections in the bill line up with the agency numbers. Okay, I'm just trying to think if there's anything else. I think we're getting close. Mr. Chairman, I don't think I've forgotten anything. So with that, I think, members, we can get started. Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, I move that section 001, the governor's, page 1 of your cheat sheet, and page 6 of your bill. And I will explain that section myself, Mr. Chairman. And the JAC accepted all the governor's budget reductions of $636,082, which consists of reductions of operating expenses and contract services. In total, the governor's proposed reductions to his office amount to 10%. The JAC adopted the Gov's Recs on ETS transfers, and I think that's number, and then also on number 3 of your sheet, we denied, if you look at the cheat sheet number 3, we denied a replenishment of $5 million for the mega data centers because there's already $10 million in that fund. And so we didn't feel there was a need to push that up to $15 million again. So we further reduced, I think on footnote 4 on your cheat sheet, the governor requested $250,000 for the streamlining state government, and we reduced that amount by half. And then I members on, and I think we further elaborated that on page 7 and 8 on footnotes on that streamlining state government, that we have a report of progress on that will be delivered to the JAC. And then finally, Mr. Chairman, number 5 is just a cleanup, really, to make sure that we know where the FINERPA monies are deposited in an account in the auditor's office. And so really, there wasn't really too much. The biggest issue in this budget was really probably the denial of the mega data centers, and we accepted the governor's recommendation of 10% cuts. So with that, I'd stand for any questions.
Are there any questions on Section 001? Woody Newton. Question being called. All in favor of Section 001, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Section 001 has passed committee to hold. We are now on to Section 002. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now we'll get moving here a little faster. Section 002, Secretary of State, is page 2 on your cheat sheet and page 8 of your bill. Now I'll explain that section myself. And so the JAC accepted the majority of the governor's budget reductions of $130,023 in the form of a reduction of one FTE, which was an in-house lawyer for the Secretary of State, with an annual compensation, salary, and benefits of $121,009. So in doing so, the Attorney General's office will pick up the legal work of the Secretary of State. The JAC denied the budget reduction of $9,014 in computer maintenance funding, as the committee believed this expenditure was too important for the continued operation of campaign finance, notaries, business filings, annual reports, and of course, the website. And originally, this agency recommended the elimination of the publication of the Constitution, and of course the JAC denied that, and those materials will continue to be printed. So if there's any question, I'd stand for any questions.
Representative Nicholas. Any other questions on Section 2? Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question for the Chairman of Appropriations. Concerning the bucking horse and rider and the $200,000 that goes with that, is that for what is that for? Is that for sort of a copyright holding of some sort, or what is that?
Chairman Harshman.
Mr. Chairman, good representative is exactly right for copyright guarding really our bucking horse and rider trademark. Thank you for the question.
Are there any other questions, Section 2? Question being called. All in favor of Section 2, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Section 2 is passed committee to hold. We are now on to Section 3. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 3, State Auditor. It's on page 2 of your cheat sheet and page 9 of your bill. And once again, I will explain this section. Mr. Chairman, JAC accepted the governor's budget reductions of $106,908 in a form of reduction of one vacant AWAC position in the operating expenses. Also in that, that came with that utilities, communications, advertising, printing, supplies. The governor held the state auditor's office harmless to a majority of the budget reductions this year. The total cuts in this office amount to roughly 1%. The JAC adopted the Gov's recs on ETS transfers. And I think it's pretty straightforward. I'd stand for any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions on Section 3? Question being called. All in favor of Section 3, please say aye. All opposed say no. Section 3 has passed committee of the whole. We're now on to Section 4, Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 4, State Treasurer, page 3 of your cheat sheet and page 10 of your bill. Mr. Chairman, the JAC adopted the governor's budget reductions of $165,990 in the form of a reduction of one vacant FTE in the operating expenses. Once again, the governor's proposed reductions are less than the target amount of 8% for this elected official's office. The reductions amount to approximately 2%. However, keep in mind most of the expenditures for our treasurer are pass-through programs such as tax relief for veterans and game and fish complimentary license fees. I'd stand for any questions.
Are there any questions on Section 4?
Question being called. All in favor of Section 4, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Section 4 is passed Committee of the Whole. We are now on to Section 5. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 005, Department of Education, page 4 of your cheat sheet and page 11 of your bill. And we'll explain that. Mr. Chairman, the JEC accepted the governor's budget reductions of $468,020 in reductions to personnel services, operating expenses, and contract services. The JEC added footnote number 5 requiring the budget office to oversee any general expense modifications called the GEM process. You'll remember, and if you look in the bill from last year, there were required the governor's approval on all B-11s in between divisions of this agency related to the 100 series, and there was a process used. Over 600 of these were initiated this past year since we were here last, called general expense modifications. So we require the budget office to oversee those as well. The JEC further reduced this budget by $19,157. We added $21,988 to one unit court ordered placements and made further reductions of $24,744 to special ed data monitoring, $16,401 to visual handicap, for a net reduction of $19,157. And a total general fund reduction of $497,000. In short, the Joint Appropriations Committee needed to reorganize the WDE's proposed cuts because the department did not identify a specific position from which to take the proposed salary reductions. The JEC also adopted the Gov's recs regarding ETS transfers of $241,119 general fund and four positions, two full-time, one part-time, one AWAC. And we further amended, there was, in all of these 159 positions, there were only three that were contested, and they were in Agency 5, and we transferred those three contested ETS positions in the corresponding $288,000. So the budget reductions to this office amount to approximately 3.4%. The major unit that was excluded from reductions was the general fund support for the federally funded school in the middle of the state. And we just do one of those, and we excluded that school from reductions. In addition, the JEC did not approve the proposed realignment of 29 positions within this agency, consistent with the governor's recommendations. And if you have your budget bill, and if you're really, I would give you just for homework if you want to look a little more, but it's on page 7 of your budget. You can see those positions are listed multiple times. And so we did not approve that realignment proposal. We really need more information. So with that, I would stand for any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question on item number 2 in the cheat sheet. You're moving the personnel positions into ETS. Is that not going to be a part, then, of the Department of Education?
Chairman Teeters? Chairman Harshman?
As of all, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to answer that question, all of these positions now will be under the supervision of ETS statewide, and all of state government. And these positions that the good member from Sheridan County referenced, and it's similar to agencies across the state. Some will still work in their same offices. Some will do pretty much the same duties. But they're going to be, it's a whole different procedure as far as acquisition of hardware, software, those kind of initiatives. So they all work together in a statewide system. So many of these, those transfers will still be supporting the same mission that they had before.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And those ETS positions were everywhere in state government. It wasn't just this agency. We pulled these people in from all agencies. It just happened to be that these three were contested. So you can figure that one out. There were 29 positions that we talked about realigning, and I was just curious what the plan going forward is with that, if we'll consider that in December for the next biennial budget, or what the plan is.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the plan going forward at this date, and in my understanding, and you can see it on page 7 of your budget, there's multiple codes for each position. And not all those are listed. Now, some of them would be maybe more straightforward than others, but there's such an intertwining and spaghetti-like, I classify it as a spaghetti-like intertwining on how these positions were funded from different units in different parts of the budget. And it's kind of hard to unravel all that. And really beyond our scope, what we could do. It's going to take a little more time with the budget office. And I will tell you, we did pass some language to affect really all of state government that we get on more of a unified system on how we classify positions. And again, the ETS, there's 159 positions from all agencies statewide. I think the total here was 7 in this agency. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any other questions on Section 5? Question being called. All in favor of Section 5 of the budget, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Section 5 has passed committee of the whole. We are now on to Section 6, Administration Information. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 006, and I want to flip to it. 006, Administration and Information, is on page 5 of your cheat sheet, page 15 of your bill, and I'll defer to Representative Nicholas for the explanation of that section.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, and Mr. Chairman. You'll see that this is a 8% cut. It comes to $3,150,978. What we did is we modified the Gov's recs. The Gov had a reduction of risk management of $1.5 million. We asked the ANI to come back and say, that's kind of a one-time funding, and part of what we did in the appropriations is we said, look, if there's a way we can bianalize these numbers or continue them on for the next year, because we may have cuts again on the next year, we would prefer that. So ANI came back, basically took that number and reworked it, eliminated about 4 positions, so the total amount cut is the same. Just instead of taking out of risk management, they eliminated positions. So I would move the amendments of the GAC.
Are there any questions on the amendments? Question being called. All in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Amendment passes. We're now back in Section 6. Chairman Harshman.
Mr. Chairman, we...
I move Section 6.
Oh. Any other questions on Section 6?
Question
being called. All in favor of Section 6, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Section 6 has passed committee of the whole. We are now on to Section 7, Wyoming Military Department. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 7 is on page 6 of your cheat sheet and page 20 of your bill, and I'll defer to Representative Moniz to explain that section.
Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, JAC adopted the governor's rec to reduce the agency budget by $691,107 in general fund. The JAC also adopted the governor's rec to transfer $250,534 in general fund and 3 positions to ETS as a result of the statewide IT consolidation. The JAC added footnote 3, page 21 of the bill, directing the agency to pursue reimbursement of fire expenditures incurred as a result of training exercises at Camp Guernsey to the extent permitted by federal law. The JAC reduced the governor's rec of $46,043 by $8,043, making the total of $38,625 in general fund for retiree health insurance. The JAC reduced the governor's rec of $43,544 by $5,544, making a total of $38,000 in general fund for retiree health insurance. The JAC added $240,885, $1,001 of that in general fund, and $2,046,844 in federal funds and 5 firefighter positions at Camp Guernsey. The JAC adopted the Gov's rec of $50,000 in federal funds for network support. The JAC adopted the governor's rec of $1,457,000 in federal funds for security contract services. The JAC added footnote 4, page 21 of your bill, specifying that firefighters at Camp Guernsey can be called upon to assist with state emergencies to the extent permitted by federal law. And finally, Mr. Chairman, the JAC denied Governor's Rec of $223,545 in general fund and two veteran service officers' positions. With that, I'd stand for any questions.
Are there any questions on Section 7? Chairman Zwanum, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the Civil Air Patrol, can you remind me how many airplanes we have? Or I thought we lost one a couple, 3 years ago.
Representative Moniz?
If not, you can get with me later.
I can get with you. Mr. Chairman, I do not know that answer.
Okay. Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On number 6, footnote 6, can you tell me about the firefighters' positions? And also on 8, the $1.5 million for camp or security contract services.
Representative Moniz.
Okay, the first question was on the firefighters. Yeah, it was felt that if we could get federal funding to assist with the future that we are anticipating might happen this next year with the drought situation, that that money could be used, and it's all basically all federally funded, so we felt we had nothing to lose there. On what was that second question?
Camp Guernsey.
Camp Guernsey on security. Again, all federally funded money. Just felt that again was a good use of the funds there to provide for security in that area.
Are there any other questions on Section 7? Question being called. All in favor of Section 7 of the budget, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Section 7 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole rise and sit again at 1 o'clock.
While that motion is on the table, are there committee announcements? Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number one, Judiciary, will meet right now, and I guess we're going to go in high speed to get through these. Senate File 39, Uniform Adult Guardianship Jurisdiction Act, Senate File 11, Circuit Court Magistrates. Thanks.
Chairman Harvey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10 is going to meet in room 817, 10 minutes upon adjournment to hear House Bill 60. My understanding is that our time will be short, and so we will hear as much testimony as we can this evening and then carry that bill over to tomorrow morning at 8 a.m.
Vice Chairman Blickley?
Mr. Chairman, your committee number 7, corporations, will meet in room H18 as soon as we're done here, and we'll hear Senate File 13, Uniform Commercial Code Revisions, and Senate File 18, Professional Engineers and Surveyors Practice Act.
Seeing no other committee announcements, we are in recess till 1 o'clock.